As we open our Bibles to Galatians 3:10 this morning, we are returning to a point in Paul's letter to the Galatians where Paul is in the midst of correcting the serious error that the Galatian churches have begun to embrace. And this error is so significantly wrong that if they do not turn from this error, they will be in danger of estranging themselves from God Himself. Does that sound like a bad thing to you? What kind of error could be so wrong that to believe it would make you a stranger to God? It's the kind that messes with the gospel itself. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it." The error that the Galatian churches had begun to believe was so wrong, it's like someone had placed a detour sign in front of the narrow gate and the Galatians were being rerouted to a gate that was much, much wider. And they didn't even realize it. So Paul, in Galatians chapter 3, has been attempting to get out in front of his seriously mistaken brothers and sisters, and he's been yelling, "Stop! Don't you realize where that way leads? That way leads to destruction. You are fools to keep going the way that you're going." Sometimes you have to do that. Because they had taken a detour from the way that Paul had first preached to them. And who is the only way to the Father? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But the Galatian churches had begun to stray from putting their confidence in Jesus Christ, and they had begun putting their confidence in something else. So let me ask you, in what were the Galatian believers beginning to put their confidence? What have we been seeing throughout these opening chapters of Galatians? Where were they putting their confidence? In the law. They are beginning to believe that if they would keep the requirements of the Old Testament law, which God gave to Israel, their law-keeping would make them righteous in the sight of God. And the problem with that way of thinking and that way of living is that when you put your confidence in anything that you do, even if there are things that God has said to do, putting your faith in the things that you do means that your faith isn't in Christ. Your faith is in you. You might want to write that phrase down because you're going to hear it a couple times. Putting your faith in the things that you do means that your faith isn't in Christ. Your faith is in you. As we continue listening to Paul's correction of the Galatian believers in Galatians 3, verse 10, and the following verses, the Apostle Paul warns of three terrible realities that are true for the person who puts his faith in the things that he does. Here's the first one. If you are putting your faith in the things that you do, you are under the curse of the law. You are under the curse of the law. Look with me in Galatians 3, starting in verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, first, we probably need to ask ourselves, what's this curse that Paul is talking about? Because it sounds kind of, curse isn't something that you mess around with. Well, I want to take a little bit of time here. Go ahead and turn with me back to Deuteronomy, close to where we were earlier this morning, but Deuteronomy 28. Because here in Deuteronomy 28, we see the curses being communicated to God's people Israel if they would not obey the voice of the Lord. Deuteronomy 28, and when you found that, go ahead and look with me in verse 15. Prior to this, Moses has been laying out the blessings that would come if Israel did indeed keep God's command and do all that God had told them and observe carefully the things that he had instructed. They would be blessed in very tangible ways. But you come to verse 15 and you see the other side, right? In the covenant God made with Israel, both of these were part of it. The blessing if they obeyed, and the curse if they did not. Look with me beginning in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. It says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Verse 16, "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me." And we're going to look at a few more verses here in chapter 28 because these curses are described in great detail as we continue reading. But notice, they come to the same terrible conclusion. Look with me in verse 21. What's an illustration of some of the curses that the people of God can experience if they did not complete or did not obey the commands that the Lord their God had given them? Verse 21, it says, "The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, and the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. And they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze." In other words, nothing's fallen from them. "And the earth which is under you shall be iron." You're not planting anything in it. "And the Lord shall change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed." Look at verse 25. "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies." Verse 27. "The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you," verse 28, "with madness and blindness and confusion of heart." Verse 30. "You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes." And then hop all the way down to verse 45, because it sums up all these curses with these words. "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until when? Until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. They shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever." And friends, that's not even the end of the list. The descriptions keep going all the way down through the end of the chapter, and they get horrendous. And you see them played out in Israel's history. So as Paul continues his correction of the Galatian believers, he's showing them that to be of the works of the law, or in other words, to be putting their faith in the things that they do pertaining to the law, they are placing themselves under the law's curse if they fail to do all that God had commanded in his law to do. And what's the end of that curse? It's death. It's destruction. They will perish. I'm just going to let you know, 613 commandments is a lot to keep track of. If you put your faith in the things that you do, you are going to fail. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says that there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Which means that there is no way that you can keep God's law to the level of perfection that he requires. Let's face it. If you're putting your faith in the things that you do, you're in big trouble. Because you are destined to experience the very destruction that the law itself promises. Because, friends, the law was never intended to be the solution to humanity's sin problem. Did you know that? We'll observe in a few weeks that the whole reason that God gave his law was so that it might teach them what sin is and guard them from continuing in their sin. But as Galatians 3:21 will imply, the law was never intended to save people from their sin and give them life. Eternal life cannot be achieved by putting your faith in the things that you do. Eternal life is granted only to those who put their faith in the lawgiver and what he has done. So if you're still in Deuteronomy, turn over to chapter 30, verse 19. We read these verses earlier this morning. But why does God emphasize again and again and again the need for his people to heed his commandments and to be careful to observe them and not to turn aside from any of the words that he commanded them? It's not because the Lord wanted his people to put their faith in the things that they do. It's because they were the Lord's commandments. It's because these commandments came from him. He says in verse 19 of chapter 30, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you obey his voice, and that you may cling to your law keeping. To what? To him. For he is your life and the length of your days. Right, that's the whole point of God's commandments. It's because of the one who gave them. So don't put your faith in the things that you do. Put your faith in him. Cling to him. Look to him. Because he is the one in whom you must trust if you are to obtain life from him. But if you're putting your faith in the things that you do, you're under the law's curse. You will not see life. You will suffer the destruction that the curse of the law promises. And you will perish. That's a terrible reality that you will experience if you are putting your faith in the things that you do. Because, friend, if you're putting your faith in the things that you do, your faith isn't in Christ. Your faith is in you. As we turn again back to Galatians 3, we move on to verse 11. We find a second terrible reality that's connected to the first one, and that is this. If you are putting your faith in the things that you do, you are not righteous in God's sight. You are not righteous in God's sight. Verse 11 says, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." The Apostle Paul points to this passage from Habakkuk 2, verse 4, to bore into this very critical truth. The ones who are righteous in the sight of God are not those who are seeking their righteousness from the law itself. Because if you're looking to the law for your righteousness, your dependence is going to be on how well you are able to keep the law. And friends, it's far too easy to make the Christian life about our own performance. The tendency is to start looking around and we say, you know, how good am I doing at being a Christian? You ask that question, what are you going to end up doing? You're going to end up comparing with everyone else in your life. And thoughts like this are going to go through your head. You're going to think, well, I must be a good Christian because I'm doing things better than him. Or I'm doing things better than her. I go to church more than that person does. I read my Bible and pray more than she does. I use more spiritual terminology when I talk than they do. But if you're here this morning and your whole life is oriented around how well you are performing the Christian life, what's that saying about the object of your faith? It's saying that you are the object of your faith. It's saying that your performance is what you're depending on. Putting your faith in the things that you do means your faith isn't in Christ. Your faith is in you. Friends, how well we do anything is not the metric that God uses for declaring someone as righteous in his sight. No one is justified in the sight of God that way. You can only be just in God's sight. You can only be seen as righteous in God's eyes by looking to Him, by trusting in Him, by putting your faith in Him. The just are those who live by faith, not by the law, not by what you do, not by your own performance. And that brings us to the third terrible reality that Paul addresses in our passage this morning. And we see that in verse 12. And that is, if you are putting your faith in the things that you do, you are not living by biblical faith. You are not living by biblical faith. Everyone has faith. The problem is the object they're putting it in. Verse 12 says, "And yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." A life focused on law-keeping and the life of faith are not the same thing. As one writer says it, leaning on the law means leaning on self. Exercising faith means leaning on Christ. Now, we do have to be careful here because Paul is not saying that the law is bad, right? That's something that we can just subtly start to think, that the law was this bad thing. No, it wasn't. And neither was living according to God's law a bad thing, because what did God command His Old Testament people to do? Keep His law. Obey His commands. Be careful to observe all that He commanded. If God tells you to do something or live a certain way, is that a bad thing or a good thing? It's a good thing. and to not do it would be a bad thing. But the point I believe Paul is making in this passage is that living according to the law is not in itself faith. There is a difference, isn't there? And here in verse 12, Paul is again quoting from the law itself to show that significant difference. Faith, specifically faith in Christ, is the basis by which God makes a person righteous in his sight. But the law is not of faith. Keeping the law does not produce the righteous benefits that faith in Christ produces. So on the one hand, according to scriptures, the just, those who are righteous, shall live by faith. And it's on account of that person's faith that he's considered to be just. Right? That's the only reason why he's considered in the sight of God to be just. It's because of faith. But on the other hand, is a person living by a different metric. Instead of living by faith, this person decides to orient his life around doing the works of the law. So when Paul refers to Leviticus 18:4, saying that the man who does them shall live by them, Paul is saying that the law must then, if that's going to be the way that he lives, the law must then become the standard by which that person will be held accountable before God. We could say it this way. If you make the law your bed, God will require you to sleep in it. That's what these Galatian believers needed to realize about what they were doing. If they were going to complete this turning from the true gospel of Jesus Christ to a gospel of essentially law-keeping, the law would become the standard by which they would be judged. And they would be greatly dismayed at discovering that their attempts to keep the law would fall woefully short of God's righteous requirements. And they would suffer the eternal consequences of not having the righteousness that God requires. Because keeping the law was never designed to provide the righteousness that God requires. All the law can do is show you that you are a sinful lawbreaker and that you are completely incapable of meeting God's righteous expectations. The law is not of faith. Doing what the law requires does not provide what faith in Jesus Christ alone provides. So if you're putting your confidence in your own law-keeping, if you're putting your faith in the things that you do, you're standing in a very dangerous position. If you're putting your faith in the things that you do, you are under the law's curse. You are not righteous in God's sight, and you're not living by biblical faith. And if a way to overcome these terrible realities is not provided, the only possible outcome that you can expect is the curse of destruction that the law itself promises. But friends, a way for overcoming these terrible realities has been provided. You don't have to suffer the curse of the law. You don't have to face the destruction that the law promises for not keeping it. Because if you take your faith off of the things that you do, you take your faith off of your own law keeping and your own performance and your own efforts, and you put your faith on Jesus Christ alone, the curse of the law will be exchanged for the blessing of God. Look with me here in verse 13. Because you see in Galatians 3:13 that God has provided a blessing. And that's the blessing of redemption from the law's curse through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Again, a quote from the Old Testament law. When Christ died on the cross, what did he do? He, according to Paul, took the curse that belonged to those who were under the law upon himself. Paul had been under that curse, hadn't he? His fellow Jews had been under that curse. And Israel's history proved time and time again that they were unable to free themselves from the law's curse by putting their faith in the things that they did. And many in Israel perished as the ultimate consequence of the law's curse for failing to keep it. Now, what about these Galatian believers that Paul's writing to? They were Gentiles. They weren't given the law the same way that the Jews were. They didn't have the curse of the law spelled out for them like the Jews did. But even they could not escape the curse of the law. Because according to Romans 2:15, the work of the law is written in their hearts. Even they knew to a certain extent what was right and what was wrong. And even though the specific wording of God's law was not available to them the same way it was to the Jews, they were under the same curse as the Jews were, because even the law of God that they knew, they were unable to keep. And they didn't want to. So even without the written law, Romans 2:12 says, their breaking of the law that they knew would result in them perishing. Those who perish without the law, those who are without the law, perish without the law. But the righteous Jesus went to the cross in the place of lawbreakers and became a curse in their place, Jew and Gentile alike, by allowing himself to be hanged on a tree. And he provided in his own body the deliverance from the law's curse that the Jew and the Gentile so desperately needed. So any Jew and any Gentile who takes their faith off of the things that they do and puts their faith in Jesus Christ alone will be redeemed from the curse of certain destruction that they are currently under. Through faith in Jesus' payment of himself, lawbreakers are set free from the curse of the law. But God has not only provided the blessing of redemption from the law's curse through faith in Jesus Christ, he's not just provided redemption from something bad. Through this redemption, God has provided something so, so good. You continue reading into verse 14, you see that God has provided the blessing of the promised Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And what is that blessing? It's that we, which includes Jew and Gentile, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Friends, if you had the Spirit of God dwelling in you this morning, he was not given to you because of anything that you have done. Putting your faith in the things that you do is not what put the Holy Spirit there. and putting your faith in the things that you do is not how the Holy Spirit makes you more like your righteous, loving Savior. When we get to Galatians 5, Paul's going to show us that the things the believer does is important in what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's an important part. But the things that a believer does actually springs out of faith in Jesus Christ. We are to do things and live a certain way because of our faith in Jesus Christ. But this morning, Paul has warned the Galatian believers about the danger of putting their faith in the things that they do. Does Paul's warning resonate in our own ears today? Does Paul's message compel you to examine your own hearts and lives to see if the object of your faith truly is Jesus Christ? Because if you put your faith in the things that you do, your faith isn't in Christ. Your faith is in you. And if that is the case, friend, you are lost. You are in danger of destruction. You need to believe the word of the Lord, repent of your sin, and put your faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to be redeemed from the terrible curse of the law and to be made righteous in the sight of God. And Christ will send His Holy Spirit to dwell in your heart as God's guarantee that you will be with Him forever. Let's pray together.